Stand by, please. Rolling on six. On six.
This is Adam Scull. Welcome back to another episode of Art World Talks. Today at the Roundabout Theater Rehearsal Studios in Manhattan, there was a press photo call and a short Q&A with the cast of Driving Miss Daisy, including James Earl Jones and Vanessa Redgrave. Driving Miss Daisy begins previews at the John Golden Theater at 252 West 45th Street on Thursday, October 7th, with an official opening night set for Monday, October 25th. Mr. Urey's classic play is a timeless, searing, funny, and ultimately hopeful meditation on race relations in America, told through the complex relationship between two of popular culture's most enduring characters. When Daisy Werthen, played by Vanessa Redgrave, a widowed 72-year-old Jewish woman living in mid-century Atlanta, is deemed too old to drive, her son hires Hoke Colburn, played by James Earl Jones, an African-American man, to serve as her chauffeur. What begins as a troubled and hostile pairing soon blossoms into a profound, life-altering friendship that transcends all the societal boundaries placed between them. From its landmark Pulitzer Prize-winning off-Broadway production in 1987 to the remarkable success of the Oscar-winning film version, four Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Driving Miss Daisy has become one of the most beloved American stories of the late 20th century. When Jones, who was originally a theater-trained actor, was asked why he keeps coming back to Broadway and the stage, his response was this.
One is a job. and jobs are nice to have.
Jobs are good.
You know, I read something recently that 40% of the people who are out of work now expect to never have jobs again. And I don't know whose statistic that is. We actors, no matter how well known we might be, can never feel that we are above unemployment. We're all vulnerable to that. I was trained for the stage from the very beginning, from summer stock at the American Theater Wing. We were trained to be heard several seats back. Our problem with movies is to tone it down so that we can be understood in that context. I don't know what else to say about it except that I like to work. And you mentioned voiceovers and stuff. I'll find any way to do a job, you know. I took on Big Daddy and Cat on the Hot Tin Roof because I felt I knew that man. I knew him both as a black person and as a white person. I don't know if I did or not, but I felt I did. And the same with Hoke. When I saw Morgan Freeman play it, I could have said, that's the epitome. No one could do it better. And that's probably true. That's not the point. That's not the point. Every generation owes itself a shot at those great characters and those great plays, you know. And this is our shot. I'm in on this shot at this play. That's my Jedi Knight over there, my son Flynn. And he takes care of all that stuff that comes out. And often it's posters that people bring back. Their grandfathers might have been Star Wars fans, and they have become. And it might go on forever. You know, I accept that, as long as I have him to help me. I want to go back for a minute to Mississippi.
Please.
The reason I brought that up in the context of this play and Morgan Freeman, we're both Mississippians. I realized just today that not Miss Redgrave, but the character she's playing and the way she's playing it, reminds me a lot of my grandmother. Nothing in terms of age or ethnic or anything except the soul of that person. My grandmother was more of a racist than Miss Daisy would ever imagine being. She was part Choctaw, Cherokee, and Indian, and African-American. And she, when she found out how the races had betrayed each other, being a Mississippian, she hated all races, including the black race that we were identified with. And she taught her children and her grandchildren the same hatred. So when I was 14, I had to sort things out for myself, which is the first exercise in independent thinking. So she did me a favor. But at the same time, when I went into acting at the Summer Stock Theater, the first person in the front row was Maggie Connelly. And that endeared me to her because she knew drama. She was so proud that she had a grandson who participated in a form of drama that she knew so well from real life. Murders, rapes, lynchings, storms, hurricanes, floods, all that. That was her life. The hatred was only a little part of what she... Right. When I look at Hoke and his relationship with her, that's what people are supposed to do, find a friendship. And it's usually hard. It's still hard. It's been hard in the South since Reconstruction, which was a very badly organized event. It's still going on. It may never be resolved. And Hoke has learned how to accept that. It's not resolved. It's still going on. And how do you find friendship with anybody, not just other race, but your own race, with your own family? It's a hard place to find friendship because it's such a harsh place to be. Making connections with the characters, well, it's all written in alchemy, you know, these little formulas, you know. Mm-hmm. All we do is read the words and something happens to you. We're still exploring this play. We're not done yet. I'm just beginning to understand it. So I don't have any right to talk about it, really. To discover the humor that's not intended, but it's there. I don't ever expect the play that I'm in to convey a message. Messages are conveyed by lectures. The play is not a lecture. I hope it'll give an experience through the characters that the viewer, the audience, will come and say, well, I know, I don't know if the play will help anybody. It will give you a glimpse from another angle, another time. It'll see what kind of patience was required by people.